Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say joined for a second segment with by two of the people who I've come to admire most for their work in the space of understanding and helping the rest of us understand the vulnerability of something essential as a practical matter to our survival, not just as individuals, but as a society, as a nation, that is to say, the vulnerability of our electric grid. And let me just ask, before we get back to some of the details on this cyber business, for one or both of you to comment on something that is often mentioned when we have this kind of conversation, and that is, oh, shh, you mustn't say any of this because our enemies will learn about the possibility of destroying this country, perhaps with a single nuclear weapon detonated in space or through physical attacks on 9 of our facilities around the country, certain select few, or through cyber means, malware and the like. Your response to that proposition, gentlemen?
Sure, Frank. What I would say is that horse has long left the barn. All of our enemies are completely aware of and exploiting our cyber vulnerabilities. Our enemies are aware of EMP and what that can do to the electric grid. The only people who really are in the dark about all of this are the American people, are the people who flip the light switch and, you know, expect that the power is going to go on. It's absolutely critical that, you know, Americans know what the Iranians know and what the North Koreans know and what the Russians and the Chinese know about the vulnerabilities of our grid. So us talking about this today, we're not educating anybody as far as enemies. They all already know and are working to exploit these vulnerabilities.
Yeah, and let me just say thank you for your book, the Civil Defense book, Emergency Preparedness for a Rural or Suburban Community. You can find out more about it, folks, at civildefensebook.com. So let's go back to cyber as an example. Tom Popick, you just mentioned that yesterday the Department of Homeland Security is announcing the danger that we face from cyber attacks emanating from Russia in this environment. And I'm just trying to figure out how could it possibly be that the regulatory mechanisms you've described here, the self-dealing, self-interested, utilities-dependent North American Electric Reliability Corporation, a sort of trade association, I think it's fair to say, working with this agency that is ostensibly overseeing their work, but mostly rubber stamping them, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, is seemingly indifferent to the very threat that you've just mentioned DHS is warning us of.
Yes, certainly there's enormous defects in this regulatory system. And I agree with Mike, maybe it's the American public that's being kept in the dark. I'll give you a very specific example. There is a nominal reporting standard for cybersecurity incidents, which was developed by this self-regulatory body, NERC, and approved by FERC. For all of 2015 and all of 2016, there was not a single cybersecurity incident reported to the federal government by NERC. And so we find out just within the past week or so that an unnamed utility has been fined $2.7 million for taking the details. A contractor took the details of the configuration of their network as well as passwords, so much other confidential information, and put it on the public internet. This treasure trove of information for an attacker was found by a so-called white hat security researcher who informed the federal government. Then there was some degree of denial of the magnitude of this incident. The federal government is still not disclosing the utility that was so imprudent to allow this to happen.
So wait a minute. Let me just make sure I understand this. You have had, in the face of actual attacks on the cyber infrastructure of the grid, the information that enemies of this country would need to engage in those sorts of attacks. And it was on essentially open platforms that could be readily accessed by them. A so-called white hat guy, a cybersecurity defense person, presumably, found it, raised the alarm about it. This unnamed company has been fined almost $3 million for doing it. And yet there's not enough disclosure to say who it was and what the damage done might be. But more to the point, we're still not getting fixes made to the grid to protect us from these sorts of attacks.
That's correct. The most, for me, one of the more shocking aspects of this incident, the $2.7 million fine and the disclosure of the treasure trove of information needed to attack this large utility system, is that that is not a so-called reportable cybersecurity incident. In other words, under the standards that have been set by NERC and approved by FERC, this federal agency, that does not even rise to the level where it would be reported. Not
so there's no threats to the grid. There's been no attacks on the grid because we don't consider ones that have happened actually reportable incidents worthy of note. So we're getting a completely fraudulent representation of the magnitude of our vulnerability. Would that be fair?
I think fraudulent would be putting it very charitably. Yes.
Michael, maybe as you're looking at this as a man with, you know, time in grade, as they say, in the military, Michael, maybe as you're talking and thinking about this, is it fair to say that this is, well, the lawyers would use the term, I think, an attractive nuisance? We're inviting attacks by leaving these kinds of known vulnerabilities in place and pretending they don't exist, whistling past the graveyard.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We have, our regulator, FERC, you know, who's supposed to be protecting us, is asleep at the switch right now. And the industry that, doesn't want these burdensome regulations to protect the grid is left making the rules. And meanwhile, Americans everywhere are in danger. This is an existential threat to the United States. And as you mentioned, we have the threat of physical attacks on the grid. We have the threat of cyber attacks. Also, we hadn't talked about yet, but we also have the threat, something known as a geomagnetic disturbance, or everybody's heard of the term solar flare. In 1989, the province of Quebec's grid was taken out by a relatively small solar flare. And we know for a fact that solar flares are constantly shot out in every direction by the sun, and occasionally they strike the Earth, and occasionally a large one can strike the Earth, and our grid is not prepared for an event such as that. A coordinated attack against several transformers, as we saw, one transformer attacked out in Metcalf, California.
2013. These are real world problems, and you've described them, as I understand it, in your book about the grid's vulnerability. And again, I hope people will find it at civildefensebook.com. It's entitled The Civil Defense Book, Emergency Preparedness for a Rural or Suburban Community. Michael Mabee, thank you for your time today. Tom Popick, thank you for yours and for the great work both of you are doing. I would just say, Michael, in closing, if the FERC were only asleep at the switch, it would be one thing. I fear they are being willfully blind and malfeasant when it comes to doing their job, which is to oversee, regulate, and ultimately ensure the reliability and resiliency of the grid upon which we all depend. Gentlemen, we have to leave it at that for the moment, but we will be following this closely. I know you will be too. Come back to us again very soon, if you will. Next up, we're going to be speaking with Charles Limandri, who is a president and chief counsel of the Freedom of Conscience Defense Fund, about what's happening with Islamism in his native San Diego, right after this. We'll be right back.
to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.